An interesting convergence of geography and commercial development and existing residential development has created this fascinating pocket in El Paso. And luckily, some years ago, I met Roberto Salas, who is an artist who was living and working in El Paso at the time, moved to San Diego, but has maintained his connection with our community and with Buena Vista, the neighborhood on the west side here of El Paso. Welcome, Roberto. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you, Monica. It's always a pleasure to be in your show.
There's always so much to talk about regarding the happenings at Buena Vista, and you as the founder and director of Centro Artístico y Cultural Buena Vista kind of have your finger on the pulse, don't you?
A little bit, you know. I think all in all, what it is, it's another venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that's created to compete, but it's actually to add more venues to El Paso. And that venue is extended to the greater part of El Paso, including Buena Vista and, you know, southern mm-hmm. New Mexico.
It kind of reminds me the Centro, which is a physical building. We'll get to the history of the facility itself in a second, but it reminds me of entering a city and seeing the little visitors center, because without it, there's no one spot where you can go and find out what is it about this immediate area? What's the story here? And that's what the Centro is doing, is telling the story of what's gone on in this little neighborhood. Describe the place geographically to
us.
Well,
I guess just to sort of answer, it almost becomes an interpretive center.
Mm-hmm.
The location is right off of where Donovan ends, right by the famous Rosas Cantina. There's a little drive there called Racetrack Drive, a short little drive considering mm-hmm. the word is so mighty, racetrack.
Yes.
And Racetrack then bumps up against Torres, and I think you would remember Buena Vista Grocery used to be there.
Yes.
Sal Villalobos, may he rest in peace, was the proprietor there and fed the community because he had delicious food, and you could find out what was going on. That was central headquarters at one time, as we used to kid around.
It's now it's just a convenience store?
I believe it's going through a new business change.
Oh, okay. And, but it's right at an odd convergence of the roadways where it's below the side of the freeway. It comes up, Paisano goes past it.
Yes, actually, it's between Paisano and Interstate 10.
Mm-hmm. And then the neighborhood itself is hidden behind the Lomas, the little hills there where you don't see a neighborhood. You have no clue it's there.
Exactly. It's almost like an island that's been cut off. But at one time, it was a large Latino voting block that was somewhat split up by Interstate 80, and it was the Interstate 10,
mm-hmm.
and there was some more crossings with more pipelines to the west side, and then there was a dam. So a lot of the people were actually moved out of the area. The mm-hmm. areas were condemned, and what's left here is a little pocket, little skeleton of a big, gigantic cul-de-sac, because there's one way in and one way out, even though we still have residency down at the bottom of the river level, should I say.
And so many fascinating things that intersect there. A number of deceased veterans, World War II veterans who had occupied this area. People who were Smeltertown residents. Geographically, many a time, looking off the freeway as I'm heading east, a quick glance down to the right, and you can see a little bit of water flash by. And I've never been sure what the story was about that. Do you want to tell us?
A little bit. Yeah, absolutely. It was actually originally owned by Portland Cement.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to Jobe and then it went to Cemex. And right now it's under question. I think it's kind of problematic of what's going to become with that, because I believe that the property is in review for being sold to an entity which I do not know at this point. But our jobs here in Buena Vista are to become stewards of this place. We have been advocates for years, since a lot of the early advocates were there, that we always felt that this was our little ojito mm-hmm. de Dios, it's a little eye of God, because it reflects to the sky and it's water, and it's so precious here.
Yes.
But the interesting thing about it, that we as Buena Vista residents are concerned, and the Neighborhood Association is concerned about the fact that we want to preserve this area. We want to make sure that it's properly taken care of. And we're working with political figures right now to make sure that it's preserved, because that's the whole effort in a lot of these things, is that Buena Vista as a resident or as a community wants to be preserved, and as well as we want to become stewards to have perhaps a great interpretive center that talks about the wildlife that lives mm-hmm. here, all the inhabitants, all the part of the riparian culture that deals here with being the Rio Grande being in our front yard.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to take a little jag to the left here and then come back to the issue of the interpretive center in it, well, in its current location. But you took off to San Diego, where you've made a name for yourself and a good living, I hope, as an artist.
As a visual artist, yes.
Yes, I mean, fun stuff. And that's where I really first met you and talked with you, was about the artwork you had going on in San Diego, which is just very cool. Highway signs, street signs that were totally just an artistic installation and just fun stuff. But you've maintained your connection. You still have your little house there in Buena Vista.
I inherited my parents' house, and then I bought a few other properties and a studio. And
okay.
I've been retrofitting an old adobe where I go and come
nice.
To El Paso and work.
And you established the Centro Artístico first right there on Donovan, just not too far from Rosas Cantina,
no,
right?
No, right next door, actually. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that terminated, and we finally moved into a building that I had been chasing for about 10 years.
Ah,
and
okay.
it's an old clinic that a lot of the people who are listening probably got vaccinated there. And
yeah,
have
yeah,
these
cinder block
exactly.
structure. I know them. Yeah, they're all over town.
And I tell you, we got the place, we retrofitted it, and we're retrofitting it right now and mm-hmm. making it our own. And that's what's going on now. That's
now,
the big
now,
kick.
The address now, I had to want to find it. It's 120 Corchain, and the street is spelled CourChenSE. Now, I Googled myself silly, and I have to say I couldn't quite find it. But if you just go past the little convenience store and take the road that curves around into the Buena Vista neighborhood, and you kind of bump around a little bit, it's not that hard to find.
It's a big blue building.
There you
with
go.
With orange trim and a
big
few
blue
trees.
Building with orange trim. Okay, this is a giveaway. Yeah, it was easy to find at that point, and you had an exhibition there, which I was delighted to take part in, or actually go visit. And it was a collaboration with Land Arts of the American West. Tell
yes.
me about that.
A few years back, I was in Japan on an exhibition where five artists from the West Coast were invited to react on this museum by Talado, a Japanese architect who designs these concrete buildings. And mm-hmm. this one was about, I'd say, 4 hours out of Tokyo, up in the mountains, and some very beautiful scenery.
I imagine.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
And the artists were hosted by the museum, and each of us were given a cabin to stay in and
nice.
Work a month long and
react. I want to do that.
Isn't it wonderful? It was like a rock star trip.
Yeah.
But what we did is we did installations in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed up for 3 months, and then the work came down. But during those conversations, there was a gentleman from University of New Mexico at Albuquerque, Bill Gilbert, who is the
what
one.
What a place to meet somebody
can
from Albuquerque, Japan. Okay.
And I said, hey, neighbor. I said, how you doing? And he says, well, doing well, but I've got a little situation, and I've been thinking that this program that I have needs an art station. I said, well, what program? He says, well, it's the one you just mentioned. And what it is, they take out graduate students out into the field, and it's a new pedagogy that they use for grad students to have them engage in some kind of social, ecological practice in the world of the Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
They go take a look at site-specific art, like the Spiral Jetty. They've gone to Mata Ortiz to deal with the potters, and they come to Buena Vista. And they've been coming for the last 4 years, creating social practice, a work, but in the form of artwork. They've done some beautiful enhancing walls with recycled tile and marble from a local area in the Buena Vista area, and we've enhanced the wall very inexpensively. And
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. This wall was 200 feet long, 6 feet wide, and it was done in 4 days.
Wow. Now, I had the opportunity to visit with some of the individuals who were there with Land Arts of the American West from Albuquerque. Brilliant, articulate, exciting people to talk to. What is the kind of thing, in your estimation, that students gain from this type of experience?
Well, one of the things that happened is that they created oral histories.
Mm-hmm.
In our community, we have an elderly population that is, of course, dwindling as we speak. But that information is something that can be captured in a very wonderful format as we are speaking into this microphone. We
mm-hmm.
recorded a lot of the stories. They took images of their homes, portraits of their homes.
Oh, nice.
And also did some wonderful mm-hmm. samples at the pond, just a little example of what the wildlife was like. They set up cameras so that they could record the birds coming down. Our wonderful Keystone Park is a beautiful park, and those birds share the same kind of waters, but they
yes,
roost
the habitat.
At the pond, and then they go yeah. back, and there's a wonderful commute.
Mm-hmm.
But this exhibition was formulated this April, and what it was just Land Arts coming in and working with the community and putting together a beautiful exhibition that talked about the needs and what the community was doing at, for the stewardship that we're looking for.
Real quickly, do you think that Cement Lake, as it's known, will be preserved at this point?
Well, we certainly hope so, and we're putting the word out that it should. And I think that the sentiment of people in general are that we need to preserve these areas and make sure that it is patrolled and make sure that we have depositories for trash and we have things for recycled materials.
There's a consciousness, about the place.
And then hopefully we can actually have somebody actually creating walking tours that would tour the area or give you an explanation.
Now, if people are driving around and want to check out the place, is it generally open or is it not yet?
You'd have to make an appointment to come to the Centro and do that at this point.
Can they do that online?
They could do that online or they can call me directly and I can make arrangements.
Okay. Your website is BV, as in Buena Vista, bvcentroartistico.org is the website. Or you can call Roberto Salas directly at 619, it is a long distance call, 619-886-1892. And very quickly, Roberto, when's the next actual pachanga you're going to have out there?
That'll be Dia de los Muertos, probably on the 2nd of November, which I believe falls into Saturday.
And will be cooler.
And it'll be cooler. And the public's invited to come participate with the altar. We're also going to have the largest Volkswagen skull that the public will be. There's a young artist by the name of Israel Armendariz who took a Volkswagen and made it into a skull. And he's going to have kids paint it. And we're going
that's going to be worth seeing all by itself there. This is super. Again, check out bvcentroartistico.org. Roberto, it's always just such fun to have you in and get an update on this project. And I look forward to doing it again sometime. And I'll see you in November, if
not sooner. Absolutely. That would be wonderful. Thank you.